You think people get annoyed when we do the 3-2-1 in the beginning?
I don't think people care at all.
Okay, good. So we'll keep that this part in. And the 3-2-1. All right. We are live with another episode of the Back of the Shul podcast. This is actually a surprise episode because I know we had mentioned last time that we probably were not going to do one this week. But here we are. And, guys, this is a little bit of a special show because we've got sponsors. That's right. We have sold out. We're not doing this for the love of the game anymore. We have a sponsor, and our sponsor is Tam Tams. Ever heard of them? Tam Tam Crackers by Manischewitz. Menachem, I think you've heard of them.
Oh, you better believe it. I mean, I was so excited when you told us that we were getting Tam Tams as a sponsor. They're literally my favorite cracker. The Everything Tam Tams are the best crackers to eat a herring on, even to just to eat plain. They're unbelievable. Like, this isn't even for the ad. I would just say this anyway.
Oh, no. This is legit. Menachem is the world's biggest Tam Tams fan. Wait, let's do a quick Mizrfont of favorite ways to Tam Tam. I'm going to go with mine. We're not going to do a snake draft. I'll go with mine.
No, this is the Mizrfont of – oh, okay. That's what we're doing.
Okay, so my favorite way to Tam Tam, I got liver, dip, any sort of like dip. Here's a little bit of a different type of lox and liver again. That's on my Mizrfont.
No herring?
Guys,
I think I've been pretty clear that we've made it pretty clear that I'm the foodie of the three of us. So my two favorite ways, it is first of all the greatest herring delivery system by far, by a wide margin, but also surprisingly excellent on a charcuterie board. It works with everything.
All right, getting all fancy. Yeah. Menachem, how do you Tam Tam?
Well, so I was going to give you my Mizrfont of crackers, which are first Everything Tam Tam, second Garlic Tam Tam, third Onion Tam Tam, and then four Original Tam Tam. So I don't think that there are any crackers that are even close to that.
It's a great product. So Tam Tam, we thank you for the sponsorship. Everybody, tweet us at Back of the Shul. What's your favorite way to Tam Tam? Thank you very much for the sponsorship. Okay, so now let's get into this episode. Yeah. Okay, so let's get into this episode.
Wait, so it is three weeks.
I think Menachem, you had a disclaimer.
Before we start, I just want to give a little bit of a disclaimer because I feel like there were some disturbing comments made by NFL wide receiver DeSean Jackson. I feel like we had to discuss them. So it seems like the Goyim are on to us now. Like, they're starting to realize that we're controlling everything, and it's not great. So I think for our next meeting, we're going to have to go even more underground than before. So just sit tight for an update, and we'll update you guys on when the meeting to discuss the weather for August is going to be. We're going to have to change the date, location,
right?
Whatever. It's a little bit
It's clear that there's been a leak in the system, and yeah, we're gonna have to plug this. So yeah, disclaimer out of the way, we are holding the night before Shavuos Batamas. The 3 weeks are nigh; they are upon us. And
So that means nobody's gonna be listening to music, right? So everyone's gonna have to just listen to our podcast.
Welcome. Yeah, exactly. Welcome, all new listeners. Can we just cut the pretense. You're all listening to music. We all know this. Why do we even bother? Why does everybody say, oh my goodness, in 3 weeks, everybody get your music in. I'm going to download AKA Pella Volume 76 because I think they're doing a different Lady Gaga song. Like, we know you're listening to music.
I love how people listen to acapellas if that's different. It's like, oh, that's electronic, so it's fine. Oh, also, by the way, before we continue, just – We're being gabba gabba, right? This is just between me and you.
Yeah.
So I feel like a lot of people are gonna relate to this to some extent. I don't know if everyone was as late as I was, but I think I was probably in high school already before I realized that acapella was not a Jewish word. So I don't know about you guys, but it took me a really long time. And then I was just very surprised when I found out that it was actually a word that other people use besides Jews.
I'm sure the group, aka Pella, didn't help matters in realizing that it was not a Jewish word.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I've always said that there are certain words. I mean, this might actually be a great mizrofan, but like, I always said they're like famished, right? You pronounce famished like famished. It just sounds good, you know. So I think acapella can go on that list. I also wonder, you know, I get the panic before Sphera to get a haircut and stuff like that, because that's a pretty long time. What is the big deal about getting a haircut before 3 weeks? Why do people make such a big deal out of it?
Well, I think it's a little different this year because, you know, we all went, or most of us went, a few months without getting a haircut. And this is before, I guess it paired with Sphera. Like, I'll be honest, I totally forgot that the 3 weeks were coming and I couldn't get a haircut. So literally 10 minutes before Mincha today, I had my quarantine barber give me a haircut, my quarantine barber being my wife. Give me like a slight haircut because I went so long without going to a barber. Like, it didn't even register that that's where you go now and that I could go.
Yeah. I haven't gone to the barber and I was already like, when the whole quarantine started, my hair was already pretty long. Like right before Pesach, I literally took a shaver or trim or whatever it was, I just shaved my entire head. I gave myself like a 2 all over my head. I'm like, I'm not seeing anyone anyway. I'm not going anywhere. I'm like, I don't know when I'm going to be able to get a haircut. So I literally just shaved my head bald.
Menachem, you shaved your head and you make a lot of Hitler jokes. Oh, I'm noticing a trend.
I guess, you know, the same way that people were, you know, sort of self-reflecting during the whole coronavirus situation about why is it only now that we're realizing how essential nurses are and doctors are and teachers are. I think, you know, maybe we should give some love to our barbers. We realize how bad everybody else is at giving haircuts.
Yeah, I think there's a point. I don't think there's going to be any airplane salutes. Maybe everybody will like toss a shaver in the air or something like that. But I don't think we're going to get any flyovers supporting our haircut heroes. Yeah.
All right.
I don't know. So this is the 3 weeks. Honestly, I think it's up there on the list. Maybe it's not like the top 10, and we're not going to go through the cliche top 10 reasons why people go off the derech. You know, with the being the fifth wheel at Hataras Nedarim, Shalosh Shodes Mirrors getting whacked in the face by a talis. Like those are for, you know, other people to go through. But I think having 3 weeks smack in the middle of the summer, like most of us live in the Northeast or in cold weather areas. Like we have Chicago listeners as well. Like, you know, we wait all year for summer. And then this religion has to throw the 3 weeks on us. It's terrible.
By the way, I realized recently that if you live in the Southern Hemisphere, everything is awesome. Like, you have Hanukkah in the middle of the summer, and the 3 weeks, and Tisha B'Av, and everything is in the middle of the winter. It's unbelievable. That's a great point. I realized that a few years ago, and I was just thinking, why don't we all live there? That seems unbelievable. Like, imagine in camp, you guys are doing Hanukkah instead of Tisha B'Av. How awesome is that?
That would break your brain. I mean, every time I think of that, it just breaks my brain. Like, I can't fathom it. Although, I guess in Florida, Hanukkah's warm, but I don't know. But
there's a difference between it being, like, it's not, when it's winter in Florida, it's not cold, but it's still, like, it could be, I don't know, 50, 60 degrees or something in the middle of the winter. But it's not like in Australia where it's like 90 degrees and in the middle of the summer. It's just a whole different perspective.
Right.
Yeah, with all this said, I think, you know, Shlomo had his whole Ben Gavra Lagavra about Shavuos. I think the 3 weeks might be the most overrated thing because relative to the 9 days, there's very little that you can't do. Well,
yeah, but you're also not realizing that the 9 days is in the 3 weeks. So when we're saying the 3 weeks, we're including the 9 days.
But how big a difference is it actually going to make to your life?
A huge difference.
It's really annoying.
What's annoying about it?
I mean,
you got your haircut beforehand. You don't need a haircut every 3 weeks.
For the people who actually don't listen to music and who actually like listening to music, it's really annoying. And during the 9 days, not real. You're just like ignoring the 9 days. The 9 days are also not going swimming in the middle of the summer is really annoying.
And, right, the 9 days is a lot
not
rougher.
Eating meat, saying, that's really annoying.
For sure, but we're talking about the 3 weeks here.
Right. Okay, but the 9 days is literally 3 weeks. People don't like the 3 weeks because in middle of the 3 weeks and at the end of it is 9 days. Is the 9 days?
No, what people don't like is the 9 days. It's not the 3 weeks that's such an issue.
But it's part of it.
It's all part of it. Yeah.
It's a package deal.
Also, no, but wait. Also, even besides for like all the regular things of the stuff you're not allowed to do, there's always the people who are killjoys and be like, oh, you're going to really be doing this in the middle of the three, especially when you're a kid. You have, like, and if you're in sleepaway camp and you have rabbis telling you, like, oh, this probably, you shouldn't be doing this during the 3 weeks. Oh, this is not a good thing. And it's like, the problem is also we have so many of these things. It's like one after another. It's especially, and also the problem is it's during our vacation time, because first we have Sfira. So it goes from Pesach straight, like the whole Sfira, it's like, oh, this is the time where all the Talmidim died. You shouldn't be doing stuff like this during then, whatever. And then we have maybe like a month and a half, and then, oh, the 3 weeks. Oh, come on, you can't be doing anything during the 3 weeks. Then Tisha B'Av, we have like 15 days, and then Elul. Then you can't do anything the entire Elul. And then Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and then it's winter already.
I think I want to introduce a mini Shailos Utshuvos right here. Would you prefer to get rid of Sfira and the 3 weeks and the 9 days, but have to fast Ramadan? Or would you rather keep that?
Oh my God, that's a really hard question.
Good question. Actually, we should have really saved that for Shailos Utshuvos because mine is also related to Tisha B'Av in 9 days.
Oh God, that's a
hard question. I'd probably stick with the 3 weeks, 9 days.
But he's including Sfira also.
Yeah, oh, he said Sfira. Oh.
Yeah, you get rid of Sfira too.
Oh my God,
I want to put a caveat on this. You don't have to say slichas every day of Ramadan. Meaning, it's just fasting. It's not. There's no none of the various fast day accoutrements that come with it.
I'm really considering doing Ramadan. Very much considering
Ramadan, you can go all crazy at night, no?
Right, yeah. It seems from what I gather about Ramadan, it's just like during the day you fast and that's it. Like, there's no. Yeah. I'm assuming now that like there's no other stuff involved. It's just fasting.
Ramadan is the mullet of religious observance. You know, business in the front, party in the back.
Yeah,
exactly. But that is a really really hard question. And I think I'm leaning towards Ramadan, but I don't know. It's a really good one.
Yeah, it's a good one. All right, guys, let's move into our minion updates. I have one, and it's going to seem almost sacrilegious to plug another podcast on our show, but I stumbled upon this great new podcast that I highly recommend everybody check out. It's not even so new. I just stumbled upon it. It's called the 1840 Podcast by Rabbi David Boshevkin. It is amazing. It really is. It's kind of like how we talk about stuff out in the open, but in a humorous way. He talks about, you know, religious topics and very controversial or touchy or uncomfortable subjects in a very open way. I don't know if he listens to this show, but I'm going to plug his podcast because I found it incredible, and I highly recommend that after you listen to us a minimum of 3 times, go listen to him.
Maybe I'll check it out. Sounds good.
So after post coronavirus, during coronavirus I didn't do much driving, but now I'm driving, you know, a pretty significant distance every day, and I've come to the conclusion that drivers in the mountains are the most bipolar people in the world. On my drive to the mountains today, I was behind a guy going 25 in a 55. I was behind a drunk driver who was swerving all the way into each side of the lane. He missed a couple of telephone poles. And then I nearly got run off the road by an ice cream truck. And let me tell you something, nearly getting run off the road by an ice cream truck changes you as a person. I will never look at an ice cream truck the same way.
By the way, on the topic of ice cream trucks, I feel like for some reason, this is the episode where I have a lot of things that are annoying me and that are on my mind. But like, this isn't I'm not saying any chidushim here. I'm not saying anything crazy. But the Kim and Macha Bracha thing is the worst thing I've ever heard in my entire life, and I think we should start a movement to just not buy ice cream from any truck that plays that song. Just do well, it, actually, and then maybe they'll stop.
On that note, Joe, I actually think he just wanted you to make the bracha of Shas Leinis. He doesn't specify which bracha to make.
But it's true. It's a very good point that you're making. I also have a mini check your litvish. So there was an update from Yeshiva World about this Israeli police officer who was giving out tickets to people for not wearing masks while not wearing a mask. And I feel like someone should have just told him to check his litvish, you know.
That's interesting, because that actually leads into one of my minion updates, which was that someone came over to me with a mask on his chin, not covering his nose or his mouth, and came over and told me that I needed to put on a mask. So, yeah, I was like, okay, fine, I'll put on my mask on my chin just like yours is. But I just, like, there's some things that I just, like, I've said this before, but there's some things that I just don't understand, and at this point I've just given up. It's like in the shul that I was davening in, where you have to wear a mask during davening apparently, but like right after davening there's a kiddush and everyone goes to the kiddush and nobody's wearing a mask, so whatever. Yeah. It is what it is. But my other minion update that I had is, I think this is just something that very few people notice, but one of the things that I notice is that Chukas Balak, the parsha we just slain, parshios we just slain, they have the double parsha perfect aliyahs going on, meaning that each aliyah is two aliyos of the original parshas. And there's a lot of double parshas, and most of them do not have that, and I love it when they do. Maybe it's my OCD or something, but just one of those things that gives me joy.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point. I don't even think I noticed that.
On that note, Joey Chestnut.
Okay, so for those who don't know who Joey Chestnut is, he is the world's best competitive eater. He actually just won the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest on July 4th. He broke his own record for the billionth time. He ate 75 hot dogs in 10 minutes. That's with buns. With buns.
Easily covering my over 72.5 hot dogs that I bet. I was so excited to bet on real sports, because this is like the first real sports that has happened in months. And yes, for all our foreign listeners, competitive eating is more of a real sport than soccer.
Very true. It's very true. But by the way, it is a real sport, and I got very 100%. Offended, as did all of us, when people were saying like, "Oh, it's not an athlete. He shouldn't be considered among the greatest." Excuse me. First of all, the event does at least the same numbers as like a World Series game, and second of all, it's a skill related to some physical feat, and
I mean, he trains for this. It's a hard thing to do.
Yeah, but Shlomo, by that definition, bowling is a sport.
Bowling is still a more real sport than soccer.
Agreed. Yes. I'm not disagreeing with you there.
Yeah. You know what I was thinking, by the way? You know what I was thinking, Joe? I was thinking, how much damage would Joey Chestnut do at a kiddush?
Like, funny, because I was going in a similar vein. I was thinking, like, you know how in every Masifta there's that Rebbe who they always talk about? He's like, oh, he really could have gone pro, you know, like something like that. I feel like all of us know a guy who were like, oh, yeah, this guy could totally give Joey Chestnut a run for his money, you know, something like that. And the proportion, or I'm missing the word, but the relationship between the two of them is just like that Rebbe to an NBA player is the distance between that guy you know who can eat a lot and Joey Chestnut.
Honestly, I feel like it's even bigger. I feel like that Rebbe maybe could even be closer to getting to the NBA than this guy could to beating Joey Chestnut. The amount that he eats is unreal.
If he walks into your kiddush, you're like, uh-oh.
You know, Joe and I have long talked about kiddush stereotypes, and we'll get into it in a different episode. But you know the guy who always is carrying like heaping, like three or four heaping plates, and it's like, it's not really all for me, it's for my wife, like my kids, I'm taking maybe for the Suda, whatever. Joey Chestnut would just carry all those plates and would be open about the fact that it's all for him.
Right. And yeah, he would be eating all of that proudly in front of everyone.
Right.
And he can because Joey Chestnut.
Okay, so I had a Shilas Achuvas, and it kind of touches on what Joe said before. So here it is. Would you rather have, instead of the 9 days, you'd have 2 rounds of Bahab, and you don't have to have Tisha B'Av in the 9 days? So 2 rounds of Bahab means Monday, Thursday, Monday. I guess it's 2+. Thursday, Monday, Thursday, Monday.
Wait, so that's,
or would you rather just
7?
7. Yeah, 7.
Jeez. Wait, so is this like yeshiva Bahab? Or is it regular Bahab? Like, can I just go to a regular shul and they'll just fly through it? Or do I need to daven in a yeshiva?
That's a good question. How about if we meet in the middle? So you can't go to a really quick minion, but you don't have to go to yeshiva. It's just average.
What am I giving up? Just Tisha B'Av in the 9 days? Or the whole 3 weeks?
Tisha B'Av in the 9 days. But it's 7, remember. Like it's Monday, Thursday, Monday, Thursday, Monday, Thursday, Monday, Thursday, Monday, Thursday, Monday.
This is hard because I would say that if it was yeshiva one, I would stick with the 9 days, and if I could just fly through it in a regular minion, then I would pick that. I'll do that. But in the middle, that's also you guys have hard questions today.
I want to clarify one point. Number one, is the guy who's davening for the Amud enthusiastic about Bahab?
That's actually a good question.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Like, it's kind of neutral. It's neutral.
Okay, and then my second question is, do I have to fast?
No.
I'm assuming no.
I want to clarify. Because if that's the case, the answer is Bahab.
I think I would take Tisha B'Av in the 9 days.
I don't know. I'm leaning more towards Tisha B'Av in the 9 days. I hate Bahab so much.
Here's the thing. First of all, number one, all three of us go to the mountains, at least to some extent. There is nothing more depressing than a hot Sunday, which is invariably occurs during the 9 days, where you can't go swimming. That is brutal. Yeah. And then number two, the hardest point of the Jewish year, or maybe the second hardest point after the time between Musaf and Mincha and Yom Kippur, is the time between time before Chatzais on Tisha B'Av. That may be the hardest point of the Jewish calendar.
That is the ultimate no man's land. That is the ultimate no man's land. You don't know what to do with yourself.
The stuff that you're saying is true, but I hate Bahab so much. And because it's not just the Slichas aspect. It's the fact that since it's Monday and Thursday, that means first we have the long Tachanun. I mean, we have the Slichas, we have the long Tachanun, and then we have laning, and it's just one thing after another. It like breaks down your spirit. Like any little vestige of life that you had is just like, it's just destroyed. That's it. I can't explain it any better.
I understand that, but I'm still going to stick with it because ultimately you do have the rest of the day, right?
But yes, after that, annoying. What kind of day are you having already?
But does it affect – it doesn't affect Mincha. It doesn't really affect Maariv. You're fine afterwards.
But it's the start of your day.
It's a soul-crushing experience.
Yes, that's a good word.
For sure.
Wait, since it's 7 times, it means it's happening for like 3+. It's going on for a long time. And like every Monday and Thursday, it just keeps going and going and go. At least the 9 days is all compact. It is what it is, and then it's finished. This is just like every few days again and again. Just like having your whole spirit broken every few days is
another point to keep in mind is that, all of us are davening indoors at this point. We can't use like the laning thing as an excuse to get out of, the Monday, Thursday davening. We can't use the Corona excuse to get out of Monday, Thursday anymore. So
but here's the thing. Has any of us really experienced Bahab outside Yeshiva?
But that was, that was for like 7 years or more.
Right. But that's my point is, do we actually know what Bahab is like outside Yeshiva?
No, because I would never attend a minyan that had it.
That's my point exactly. We don't know what it would be like because the truth is,
you could have a pretty good idea. I mean, that's why I qualified at the beginning that if it was a minion where they just sped through it, that's fine. I could deal with that. But if they're even like, if the guy who's davening for the Umud is even somewhat into it, like, I don't think I can survive.
Okay, so wait. So we have Joe. You would rather take Bahab. I think Menachem and I.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards Bahab.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I definitely
look
think
at me
so.
Being okay. A contrarian.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, you were the contrarian with the wedding and
yeah.
What was it? Wedding and Vasikin question. Okay, so Menachem, you had a Ben Gavra LeGavra. Lay it on us.
Yes. So this is just like. I don't need a response to this. I don't need, like, we don't need to talk about this. I just have something that I need to get off my chest because it's just one of those things that I've just been hearing people talk about, not even necessarily right now. It's just, this is one of those things that I feel like I just have to say. So I just think that Forrest Gump is an extremely overrated movie. It's good at best, not great, and definitely not amazing. And that's it. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay.
By the way,
I did not see that coming.
it happens to be I've never watched Forrest Gump, number one, but this also dovetails perfectly into our Mizrachvat.
It does. It does. So that's actually a great point. Our Mizrachvat is gonna be the Mizrachvat of fast day activities. Now, I know that on a fast day, you're supposed to be Isaac and tefillah and I don't know what else. I'm not even going to try to pretend. But everybody knows that on a fast day, there are certain activities where when it's just dragging on. And yes, even on a Sar B'Tavis, it just drags on, right? So there are certain activities that we all do to help pass the time. So we're going to get into the Mizrachvat of fast day activities. I don't know who goes first. Who goes first, Joe?
Yeah, it's Yosef, then me, then you.
Got it. Okay. So,
I think, Joe? You know, obviously there's everybody has their own habits when it comes to a fast day. Everybody tries to find what works for them, but there is a pretty universal one, and this kind of spans everybody, which is sleep. You know, nothing kills time more than sleep. It's pretty universal.
It is. Yeah. It's very hard to do once you have kids. That's for sure.
Well, I don't. So I definitely relate to that. I can't remember the last time I haven't slept on a fast day. But yeah, that's a good one. So, but my next one is going to be. I feel like this also is something that everyone has to do on a fast day. Is just go to a supermarket and just way overbuy because you're just really hungry and you just buy everything in sight. I feel like that happens every single fast day.
For sure. It's a great way to pass the time. Okay. So my number one, there's a lot of good ones on the board and I'm going to go and I have two. So I guess I have what to play with. Mine is checking what time the fast ends. Everyone does this multiple times throughout the day. They just, okay, when does it end? Like, you know, it ends, like, let's say tomorrow it ends so late. It ends so freaking late, but it doesn't matter. At every hour, I am checking what time the fast ends. So that's my number one. And my number two, okay, so help me out here, guys. Do I go with what I did before I was married and had kids or now?
I say now because
which would you prefer to do?
No, I'll tell you why I think you should do now because I am probably going to be picking all the stuff that you did beforehand, and I don't have that many things because I really don't do much on a fast day. So maybe save some for me.
Okay, so I'm going to save this. I'm going to save the watching movies for you. Okay,
thank
I'm
you,
not going to say.
I appreciate.
Okay,
it.
Okay, because everybody knows that that's what I wanted to go with, right? But I can't do that anymore. Okay, so instead, what I'm going to do is a little bit similar to the grocery run is just going for a drive. Just go for a drive, and kill time that way.
It's that's definitely a kid friendly. That's a kid friendly pick right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did a like pre kids, post kids. Like it's just go for a drive. It just kills time.
Yeah. So I mean, you all know what I'm picking here. It's a clear pick. Every single guy, you just spend it watching movies, and even on Tisha B'Av, to make you feel less guilty about yourself, you could watch Schindler's List, and it's fine.
or the one about the partisans. What was the what's it called?
Glorious.
Inglorious Bastards.
Inglorious Bastards.
Oh man, there was one Tisha B'Av where I watched Inglorious Bastards, and I was like, okay, yeah, it's his own. I watched a Holocaust related thing. Okay, so let the record show that I gave Menachem this on a silver platter.
Thank you very much, Shlomo. I appreciate it. You're a scholar and a great person.
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, obviously Menachem took this one, but the way I wrote it on my list was use a new email account to start a Netflix, to get the free Netflix the first 3 months.
That is a great call. I have done that.
Yeah,
that
you need to get better at downloading movies for free online.
But the two I'm going to go with, my number two pick is going to be Talk About How You're Doing on the Fast.
Great one.
You know, I think it's a favorite pastime because either, oh yeah, I'm totally fine, or oh, I'm not really hungry, I'm just thirsty, or oh my gosh, I'm struggling, it's so bad.
That was actually one of my picks to say, just one of the things to do on a fast day, say, I'm not really that hungry, I'm just really thirsty. One of the things that you do on a fast day.
Or the reverse.
Then, Jews as a whole are very, we're very hard on ourselves. And one of the ways we do that on a fast day is watching food videos on YouTube. For me, this has been a tradition for years now. Comes like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I just start watching food videos. That's the way I pass my time. It's not exactly movies. It's just watch food videos on YouTube.
Yeah, I think I can say that I've never done that. That is very interesting. But okay. So my next pick is going to be similar to my pick from before, which is just read a book. I've spent so many fast days just sitting and reading an entire book throughout the day.
So is it also like, let's say on Tisha B'Av, so do you read like a Holocaust-related book, or is it like something of your choosing?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever read a Holocaust-related book. Sorry. I don't think there's any Schindler's List or Inglourious Basterds types of books for me to read.
For me, yeah. Okay, I'm not even going to get into it. Never mind. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so my last two... My last two, okay, there's a lot of good ones here. Again, do I go with something that I actually do now? I don't know. Okay, I guess let's just do in general. Cooking. Cooking is a good way. I know. Yeah, I figured you would have that. Figured you would have that, Joe. Okay, so cooking is a great way to pass the time. And I think my last one is... It's sort of related to what Joe said, like in terms of watching food videos, is if you can, and I've done this in the past, even now, in the recent past, I just go down like a YouTube rabbit hole. Yeah. Like just go down a YouTube rabbit hole.
That is a good one.
Let it just run its course. See where you end up. Maybe if you want it to kill even more time. Maybe read the comments, like try to choose videos that have a lot of comments and like, really get involved in the comments.
That is a dangerous hole to go down.
Yeah, so I'm just saying.
The end of that rabbit hole is you being late for Myriv.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, actually, yeah. One of my honorable mentions, and I know I'm jumping the gun, is davening an early mincha. I didn't say it. Okay.
It's all right. I have a different one.
Yeah, Shlomo, maybe next time wait till honorable mentions when you say your honorable mentions. Isn't that an interesting idea?
I was going to make a point based on what Joe was saying, but okay.
Well, yeah. I mean, I know you finished all your picks already, but some of us.
All right, I'm not going to go.
My next pick is actually somewhat similar to yours because it kind of also spawns from just having – a lot of time where you, because on a regular day, you go through, like, you have general stuff that you check on your phone and do, and then, like, there's some things, like, you just have to, like, I have to check that, I have to do this, I have to do that. But you don't really have time to just look at all the other things that you don't usually look at. So I feel like fast days are the one day that I spend scrolling Facebook, because I have a Facebook account, but I rarely, if ever, use it anymore. But fast days will be that one day where just like, you know what? Maybe I should just like scroll through Facebook, see what's going on over there.
PSA, you can friend Menachem at Max Aaron Schoenfeld.
Yeah, I made that when I was in like, I don't know, 7th, 8th grade, whenever I made my Facebook account. And I'm not sure what, maybe I assumed that you were just supposed to use your legal name, or maybe I just wanted to sound cool. I don't remember what it was, but.
And an example of incredible irony, just a little behind the scenes for everyone, Menachem is wearing the same shirt now that he is in his profile picture on Facebook, just for the
Am
record.
Am I really?
It looks sure very similar. That? It looks very similar.
Oh, I actually thought you were going to say that this is the shirt that I was wearing when I caught the baseball on Simchas Spot, which I know that I am, but that I didn't know. I have to
take a look. You tell me what you think. Shlomo decided to jump the gun, I think I'm not going to go with Davin Early Mincha. Now, I just want to be clear about something. We're talking about things to do on a fast day, right?
Yeah.
Because this one, I believe, is wake up early to try and beat the fast day so you can take the coffee or eat early before the fast day starts, technically.
I never do that.
I would never do that. You give me an hour of sleep versus food, I'll take the hour of sleep.
Also, I feel like it just messes things up in that, 100%. Like, I don't
but
know.
Yes or
just,
no, it is a thing people do.
It is a thing that people do, but I just don't do it. But yeah,
I'm gonna go with wake up early to try and beat the fast at the, I think a lot of people.
Joe, with what specifically? Like, are you talking about taking a coffee or just a drink of water?
I think if I had to rank them, it would go water, food, coffee.
Wait, Yosef, what are you talking about? This is not at all the shirt I'm wearing in my profile picture is black. It's black. Really? The shirt is blue.
I thought it was a blue one. I thought it was a blue shirt. My bad. I apologize.
Okay. Hold on. I have to look this up. Don't apologize to me. Apologize to all the listeners that you
have. I'm sorry, listeners.
Wow. Lying to the listeners. Hey, wait. Way to ingratiate yourself on a Mizrofan. Okay, so there you have it. That's the Mizrofan. Okay, let's.
Yeah, wait, Shlomo. So let me just explain to you. This is the part where the Mizrofan is over, and this is the part where you say your honorable mentions.
Well,
this
I guess I jumped.
The guy who got lost in the last 3 snake drafts.
Okay, I had a feeling that was coming.
Okay, so the point about the early mincha thing, it's most applicable on Tisha B'Av. It applies every fast. I try to daven in earlier mincha. But on Tisha B'Av, if you daven the later mincha on a Tisha B'Av, you're a psychopath. Because
have a later mincha on a Tisha B'Av?
Officially, I think they do. I don't know a soul. I don't know. Why would you? You got a 25-hour fast. Like, and by the way, Tisha B'Av is different. I always found it easy because you could just, watch Holocaust-related movies the entire day. By the way, you can watch other movies besides for Holocaust-related movies.
Yeah, no, I'm sure I've watched other movies on Tisha B'Av. I just feel less guilty when I watch them on those lists.
Exactly. No, you have the entire afternoon. Like it's wide open. I don't understand why somebody would want to just mess that up by davening a later mincha. So other honorable mentions that I had were taking a shower, like an extra long shower.
Well, you definitely can't do that on Tisha B'Av.
Okay, yeah, Tisha B'Av not, but I'm saying other fast days. Yeah, maybe other fast days officially not supposed to be there. But yeah,
I don't think I've ever taken a shower on a fast, but I don't know. I guess it's what you do, so who am I to argue?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so another one is have an extra long schmooze at work. So if you're at work on a fast day, just start up a conversation and just keep it going. Just keep it going for it. Like you pull out all the stops. Just keep that schmooze going as long as possible, because otherwise you're just going to be sitting at your computer or whatever you're doing, just looking at the time.
I think, Shlomo, I think if you want to play off that, it would be call people who you were supposed to call a while ago.
That's a good one also. I'm just running through the rest of the
I don't think – I just try to not talk to people as much as I can on fast days usually.
Fast days.
As soon as they came out of my mouth, I knew you were going to say that, but – I guess that is just always. So, you know what? let's just forget about it. But I mean, also to this is too. I was gonna do this as one of my picks, but it was too similar to what you were when you were saying, Shlomo, about checking what time the fast is over. I just had looking at the clock, just seeing what time it is, which is pretty similar to that. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's different enough. Because honestly, like I was debating, you did doing the grocery run, so I was gonna pick, but I decided not to, like browsing Amazon or any e-commerce website for a while. Just thinking, like, oh yeah, I could buy that. Just kill the time like that. Another one that we didn't mention, but related to something that we mentioned, is talking about breaking the fast, like what you're gonna break the fast on.
Oh yeah, that's a big one.
That's a good one.
By the way, I would also like to just get rid of the stigma of eating flesh eggs at the end of the fast. Like for some reason, I always do it, and for some reason, it's like, oh, you're eating. I mean, it's also one of those things that I eat flesh eggs for breakfast, and people always say, oh, you can't eat flesh eggs for breakfast. So I think this is just goes hand in hand of me just eating whatever I want whenever I want to, and I will not be told otherwise.
Yeah, I only actually have two left on my list. One was kind of a last-minute add-on, which was mouth the words to the Haftarah. Everybody sort of knows the words, but not everybody actually knows the words. But if you look around the shul by Mincha, you know, that's a pretty – that drags. The Haftarah by Mincha drags.
Yeah, but, the Haftarah by Mincha is always a weird thing.
Everybody mouths the words because they sort of know it. And the other thing was a shout-out to our co-host, which was – and this is literally how I wrote it on my list: watch movies that Menachem has on his list. So for those of you who need to know what the list is, just DM Menachem and he'll send you his entire, what is it, 100 and something?
There's two separate lists. There's one list of the top 100 movies that are standalone movies. And then there's a different list of the top 25 movies. Actually, I think it's grown. I think it's like 39 or something now, but the top movie series. So a movie that's a series cannot be on the regular movies list because it's not fair, because they're only whatever. It's not going to get into it now, but just as a fun fact,
Menachem made these lists on a fast day.
Well, the lists were made over time, but I'm sure a significant amount of it was definitely done on fast days.
I know it's a summertime, and we were debating talking about camp stuff from back in the day. How good was the movie watching on a camp, like on a fast day during camp? I mean, yes, there's like no great feeling like it.
With like laying on your bed with the iPod. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And the mini fan in your face.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, also, by the way, I had one more thing. This is not really something you do on a fast day. It's something that's done right before. And I think this might. So let me preface this by saying I have no idea if this is a real thing or not, and I don't want to find out because it works for me, and I don't want to think about whether it's real or not, because as long as it's probably 100% in my head, but as long as it works, I'm going to keep doing it. So I think this is going back at least like 15 years now. Actually, no, less than that, probably like 10 years. So I used to be really, really hungry, like halfway through not even halfway, like in the morning already, every fast day I was really, really hungry. And then my friend told me about this thing: you're supposed to have 9 sips of water as the last thing you eat or drink before a fast, and then you won't get hungry on the fast. And I don't know if it's real. I'm sure it's not real. I'm sure it's meaningless, but I don't care. I've been doing it since then, and I'm legit, like at the end of the fast, I'm like, yeah, I could probably do a few more hours. It's ridiculous, and I'm sure there's no reason for it. I'm sure it's 100% in my head, but I don't care. It works, and I'm going to keep doing it.
Okay, let me ask a question that's probably going to annoy like our entire audience. Do you do the whole dipping your fingers in the grape juice or wine after at Abdullah and putting it in your pockets?
So I'll do it if I make Abdullah myself, but if somebody else does, not just because I'm too lazy.
Okay, so my feelings on the whole 9 sips of water is like my feelings on the dipping your hands in the wine or whatever. Show me the data that it works, and then I'll believe that it's actually a thing.
So that's the thing with the drinking, is that in my head it works. So I don't care if it's like one of those things that it's 100% false. I don't care. It works for me, so I'm going to do it. Like the Abdullah thing, I don't really care about because, like I said, it's just one of those things. And I'll, like, if I'm making, I very rarely make Havdalah myself, just one of those things I finish, yeah, whatever, I'll do it. I don't really care. It's probably meaningless, and I know it doesn't do anything, but it's just one of those things that I've just done mindlessly without thinking about it. But like this thing is actually working for me. So I'm going to keep doing
it. You know what? Just to touch on something Menachem said a little earlier, that may be the ultimate hardo move in Yiddishkeit. Oh, I could probably go a few more hours.
Oh, for sure. Yes.
The people that say that on Mutz Yom Kippur, I want my first Avera to be slapping them in the face. 100%. Those people are the worst.
Oh, also, I think we wanted to do 5-star iTunes ratings. Oh, and we also need to do the voicemail. But
hold on. We'll get to a different time.
I'll start with 5-star ratings. There are actually some good ones that were left. But here, so the first one is from Breakoff Musaf. So he said, this idea every putz had for a while, you guys actually pulled it off. Really is very solid. We need some merch going. Maybe some Kiddish Club shot glasses would be good publicity. So first of all, let me just say, the guy is spot on with this idea every putz had for a while, and we actually pulled it off, because literally every single person who's been listening to this has probably thought to themselves that they could do this, and they just didn't actually get around to doing it.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I think you 100%. Mentioned that.
And
also, can we point out how his username is a shul thrill that we left off? There is nothing like a successful breakaway musaf.
That's true. But yeah, in regards to the merch thing, I feel like Jews just don't buy merch. Like, it's just one of those things that Jews just don't do. I mean, like, we could try doing it, but I just feel like it's just one of those things.
It's 100% true. I don't want to stomp on it, because actually our good friend AY, A. Mumer, actually said this on his podcast, so I don't want to stomp all over his content. But it's very true. You're not buying any of our merch.
Yeah, it's like it's a nice idea, but I mean, if we have enough people telling us that they want it, then for sure we'll do some. But I just have a hard time believing that from Jews are actually going to buy merch.
For sure. But I think we had another one.
Yeah, so there's one more. So AirDog95 wrote, he entitled it Yeki Check.
So I love this one, by the way.
Yeah, this podcast is not only hilarious, but it covers literally thoughts we all have during davening and things we observe at shul. One thing that could be added is what it's like davening by the Yekis and all their procedures to everything. Lots of material there, and I wouldn't have it any other way. Keep it up. So yeah, I honestly think that there is so much material by Yeki shul. The problem is I don't really daven by Yeki shuls, but I've davened there like once or twice, and I remember there being some really interesting. I remember specifically the really long gartel that goes around like 50 times around the Sefer Torah. That's like the one image that I have.
There's a vimple. I think it's called a vimple.
Yes, that's what it's called. But yeah, that's the extent of my knowledge. So the
one, positive, we probably don't have to worry about alienating a Yeki audience. Because we probably don't have
one. What do they do beforehand? Do they say like Heil Hitler before that? Like, what do they do?
I'm thinking there is no back of the shul in a Yeki shul. They sit precisely where they're supposed to.
Well, if it's in the back, then if they're supposed to sit in the back, then they sit in the back.
Yeah, but that doesn't make really you a back of the full guy. That just happens to be where they're sitting. Like, it's not like they're sitting in the back. Like, their seat is there. Okay. They're sitting there. Right. Like, someone's going to have to sit there, but it's not the back of the shul. It's just another seat.
Right, so in other words, if they're not wandering over there in the middle of davening.
Exactly.
To get a shul. Right, I got it. Wait, could I say my famous Yeki joke?
Sure.
This is gonna be so corny. All right, guys. Everybody that's driving up to the mountains now, turn up your radios a little bit.
Okay. That's a 10 and 2.
Yeah, exactly. All right. I don't always hang out with Germans, but when I do, I prefer Dos Yekis.
Oh, my God. Another pun.
Oh, I love it.
Okay.
Right. So let's get into voicemail. So hold on, let me find.
Just do one, because we're running short.
Yeah, there's a good voicemail that someone sent. I don't remember exactly what it was, because he sent it a while ago. I just haven't played it until now. But here, so let's play it. I think it might have been a comment on one of our Mizrachans. But yeah, I'll play it.
Hey there, big fan of the podcast. Just wanted to, I don't know if this is the Mishpacha inbox section, but I just wanted to add my own 2 cents on the Mizrach fans about Shul Thrills. You guys were circling around and I was so excited for you to hit it, the nail on the head, but you missed it. I think my number one would definitely be if the shusher gets shushed. If you get shushed for saying 3 words and you're like so upset, and then 10 minutes later he's schmoozing with his friend and either you or preferably someone else grabs him and shushes him back, there's no bigger geschmack. Oh, I wish you guys said it, but anyways, love the podcast. Thanks again.
So that is a good point. When the shusher gets shushed, because there's nothing worse than a shusher. I'm sorry. What you're doing is counterproductive. And also, and not to sound like all blue collar Boston, but what, you think you're better than me? Like when that person gets shushed, it is a thrill. That's a good point.
If I'm being honest, most of the time that I, when I'm hearing stuff and davening, I don't hear people talking. I usually just hear someone really loudly shushing. So it's definitely, it's definitely a really annoying thing, and I'm very happy when he gets shushed. So thank you.
Think about it. Call. But if you think about it from the perspective of the shusher, that is also a shul thrill for them.
What? Because it's probably, like a troll job. It's like they're trolling everyone.
Dying. They're dying for people to talk in the middle of davening so that they can shush them.
Oh, you mean when he shushes, not when he gets shushed, though.
No, when he shushes.
Sure. I mean, to be the shusher is definitely a thrill for him. Like, that's why he's doing it. He doesn't actually care about davening. He's just doing it because he likes it.
Who wakes up in the morning and decides that they're going to be the shusher guy?
Yeah, I don't think you're always that way. I think you become that person over the years.
I guess. So it's like a get off my lawn. Get off my table.
Right. But yeah, I mean, either way. Okay, yeah. Thank you for your call. He didn't even say his name. Well, whoever you are, thank you for your call. We'll just make up a name for you. What should we call him?
I don't know.
Hold on, I'm gonna pull up Yeshiva Walk. We'll call him Siag Lechachma.
Or we could go back to our Mizrach Vant of names and call him Uncleus.
All right. Well, thank you, Uncleus. Thank you, Balthanan.
Also, I had one more thing that I wanted to talk about. I forgot about this before, but this was one thing. I don't know what to call this. Maybe I'll just call it I feel old, I guess. But I just don't understand these things sometimes, I guess. But I'll tell you what happened to me. This was earlier this week. I went to Rita's. I went in the middle of the day. I was sitting there by myself at one of the tables, just eating my gelati, strawberry ice, strawberry custard, of course, strawberry topping. But then I see these two girls come, and I don't know exactly how old there was. I guess one of them was easier to tell, but the one that I'm talking about, she could have been anywhere from 13 to 30. I don't know exactly where in that range it was, but probably somewhere in that range. And I think this was the first time that I actually saw like someone doing an Instagram post live, or maybe I've seen it before, I just didn't notice. And it's really, really, really weird. Like, I'm just looking and you're just talking into the camera. There's nobody around and you're acting like you're talking to an audience. I don't know. It was very, very weird for me, and I just felt like that's something that just I just had to talk about because I just feel old now.
I hear. I mean, it's probably what my wife feels when she watches me record this.
That is actually interesting because we are also technically talking to nobody. But
yeah.
I guess
by the way, I get that question a lot. We are actually not all in the same room. We are very much not in the same room. For all those that were wondering. I just got that question today, actually.
I mean, but also it is different because even if we're not in the same room, we're still having a conversation. Like, we're still talking to each other. It's different than just like talking into your phone in public. I don't know. It was really weird for me.
Maybe we'll get our social media intern on on that. Maybe we can start doing Instagram posts like that.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm physically capable of doing it.
I would love to see a Menachem Instagram live. Just see where that would go.
I really don't think that's something people want to see. Like, I'm in general, I don't think I'm great at figuring out what other people want to see, but I think I could say with, I don't know, pretty certainly that I don't think me doing Instagram Live is anything that anybody wants to see.
All right, so that in a segment that's yet to be named. Joe, what do you want to call it? Altaheim, Those Were the Days? I think Shweki stole Those Were the Days.
I was thinking about Amol. Amol, we didn't look at our phones and talk to nobody. We talked to each other.
Can I just have, like, while we're on the subject of saying, like, our thoughts, I just had a – this is going off the rails at this point. We're going to wrap this up. But I just had a thought.
I don't know. I don't think we have to wrap it up. I think we could keep going.
No, I'll tell you why. Because I think it's the perfect bookend. Remember the disclaimer at the back of the episode – I mean, at the beginning of the episode about the Deshaun Jackson thing and his anti-Semitic comments. I was just thinking, like, a worldly Masifta Rebbe, what would he be saying? Rabbi, don't you see what Reggie Jackson is saying about the From People? I don't know why.
I told you they all hate us.
Yeah. You think you really care? You really care what Reggie Jackson thinks about a From Yid?
They would definitely follow that up with an Ace of Sinai's Yaakov.
Yeah. So I think with that, we're gonna conclude, so we can each take 9 sips of water. And did I miss anything? I think that's all, right?
I'm sure there's always more, but I think that's all for now.
Yeah, I think we're good. I think this has gone long enough. Okay, everybody, take care. Have an easy fast. I can't really say, like, enjoy the 3 weeks. So just the three
just
weeks
survive the 3 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it's there. Have at it.
It is that much we could say. It is the 3 weeks.
It is the 3 weeks. We're holding right now in the 3 weeks. That's probably
what
we should
start now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe
rework
the introduction. We, Rabbi Sai, we are holding in the 3 weeks.
Yeah. Okay. Take care, everybody. Have an easy fast.
Oh, thank you.